everybody, and welcome to the Nintendo World Report newscast, episode 29, for October 30th, 2010. I'm your host this week, Zachary Miller, up in Anchorage, Alaska, where we still don't have snow on the ground, and I'm very happy about that.
Weird.
To my left is the next cast member of Jersey Shore, Neil the Sitch Ronahan.
The Sitch? That's the best you could fucking do?
Well, the situation was already taken.
The Sitch. Really?
Yeah, that's what Kim Possible says.
All right, continue, all right. Zach.
Go on.
Okay. And that that kind voice you just heard was America's Next Top Model, Nathan Mustafa.
That's all you fucking got? What is
you
this?
Know, a girl from my college is, eerily enough, there's a girl from my college on Jersey Shore and a girl from my college that was on a season of America's Next Top Model.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Wow.
What does that have to do with me, Zach?
I don't know. It's just a random thing. It's random. I'm sorry.
All right.
And the voice you don't hear right now is, because he's stuck in Hyrule right now, is Andy Gergen.
Actually, technically, the ocean above Hyrule.
That's true.
Technically. I don't mean to nitpick or anything, but there was a girl from my college on Price is Right. I wanted to throw that out. She won the Showcase Showdown.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm not trying to brag or anything. I just wanted to say that. What's up, Zach?
Well, I think that's better than Top Model or Jersey Shore.
Yeah, I agree.
Generally, most things fit that bill, yes.
So right now, Andy's playing Zelda on a live stream.
Not right now.
So I see that connection. I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on this. Neil lives in Jersey, so I see that connection.
Yeah, I got that too. I mean, the Sitch thing is dumb, but...
But Zach?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you see, we've abused the death metal reference so much on this show already.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And see, it's Wednesday night, which is... We record this on Wednesday night, and Top Model comes on virtually as soon as I turn off the...
I see the connection between that and me now. I got it.
I know.
Actually, not to pimp it too much, but tomorrow Johnny and I are recording the Discover Music Project death metal episode. So,
yeah, oh, nice, that'll be cool. Listen to that.
Actually, Johnny and I recorded a handful of those over the or not a handful, two of them,
two
over the past week, and they'll be going up. Not tomorrow, but the next one that comes out after the next one.
Once he gets through his massive pile of editing.
Yeah, well, he's like two or three behind on editing.
Oh, okay.
It's all right, because he's got plenty of content to last for a while.
What bands did you do on your
10,000 Maniacs?
No. I did the music of Ben Folds 5, and he did the music of Bob Dylan.
Cool.
Nice. Oh, Jesus, Bob Dylan. My wife is in love with Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan's like 95 years old, I think.
Bob Dylan got arrested on the boardwalk in New Jersey.
For not making sense.
Another Jersey connection.
Yeah, he was just, like, aimlessly wandering around, and, like, I don't know. Like, people gave the cops in Jersey shit for being like, how could you not know it's Bob Dylan? But it's like, sorry, crazy old dude walking around neighborhood. People complain. What are you going to do? Like, okay, you don't know Bob Dylan. Like,
wait, you can arrested for walking? You can get arrested for just walking around being
I don't know the exact story. I just remember it was that, like, he was walking around being kind of crazy.
Oh, okay.
Well, he was talking, so it's incoherent.
Yeah.
They must have thought he was drunk.
He was like, it's like the scene in Walk Hard.
Yeah. Also, Nate, you know, Top Model films in California, so there's that, too.
It's a huge fucking state. That's like being like, hey, look, Canada has Tim Hortons.
Like, yeah. Oh, God. I'm so sick of Tim Hortons.
This is the longest introduction we have ever done.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. Should we move on?
Please.
Also,
move on to the.
Yes. No, I was gonna keep beating the dead horse. Go, keep going.
Oh god!
I guess while we're still pimping things, I have a GoldenEye or a James Bond feature going up on 1UP.com next week. That will be about the games that came out in between the two GoldenEye games.
And you can read that on NintendoWorldReport.com, right?
No, you can read that on 1UP.com.
Oh.
Neil, a lot of games came out between 1997 and 2011.
Whoa, the James Bond games that came out between them.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's referring specifically to the Imagine series.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Imagine Babies.
Oh, God. And notebooks.
My notebook.
So the top story today, the Super Mario 25th Anniversary Special Red Console Bundle, which includes Wii Sports, New Super Mario Bros. Wii, a red Wii, red Wii Motion Plus, and a red Nunchuck, are going to be released stateside. Thoughts?
Well, technically, it's the Wii Remote Plus, so it has the Motion Plus built in, right?
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I like the idea of the Wii Remote Plus, but I know this was mentioned in the TalkBack thread, but what these games don't use Wii Motion Plus? Why? What's the purpose of having a controller that has Wii Motion Plus when you have New Super Mario Bros. Wii and Wii Sports? Like,
well, I think it's because the Wii Remote Plus or whatever the hell they're calling
is new
is replacing.
Yeah.
Like, just wholesale.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird to me that this bundle doesn't include Wii Sports Resort, considering...
Yeah, me too.
That's their new Wii Sports. I mean,
yeah,
that's
and it could be, like, another, like, kind of stealth price cut thing, which is something that Nintendo's been doing for a while, because since they dropped a $199 last year, they added in Wii Sports Resort as part of the bundle, and I guess New Super Mario Bros. Wii is replacing Wii Sports Resort in this bundle, but I don't know.
Am I the only one that doesn't want a red video game console?
No, you are
not.
I could really give a shit less. Like, the only thing that seemed cool was that they had the Japanese version of this came with the ROM hack version of Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this one's not even coming with anything remotely interesting like that. That, like, seems to even signify, like, hey, guys, it's Super Mario's 25th anniversary. Let's celebrate it by playing the game that came out last year.
Red console and illogical lack of Wii Sports Resort aside, this is still a phenomenal deal.
If somehow you don't
have a Wii.
If you're one of the five people left who don't have a Wii yet, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the only thing that could convince me to have a red console next to my TV is if I was somehow, once again, 15 years old. To be perfectly it would look so weird. We did have a forum quote on this from Black and Mild 2K1, the famed tipster. He says that Nintendo should just take 10 minutes to combine Wii Sports and Wii Sports Resort onto one disc and get it over with. And it seems silly that if they're going to bundle them together on the old bundles, they probably should just put them onto one disc. And if they did that, then this bundle would probably come with both of them. It's weird to me that they don't just install Wii Sports onto the system when you buy it at this point.
Yeah, me too.
That would be really cool.
Well, you know,
actually,
they could go back into the original Wii Sports and add motion control to, like, baseball.
Yeah, and just make it one Wii Sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be great, yeah.
Yeah, just basically, that'll be next year's fall release. It'll be Wii Sports Resort Plus. It'll be like Wii Fit Plus, except for it'll be Wii Sports Resort.
That'll be the big Christmas game.
Yeah.
Oh.
It'll be $50. It'll only be available at Walmart.
Yep.
You heard it here first.
So there's that. And then, of course, the thing that I'm sure, I know James got excited about, but I'm sure Neil just about had a heart attack when he found out that Professor Layton and Phoenix Wright are in battle or something in
there's
a crossover game announced for the 3DS. And there's a video that I wish was dubbed. Yeah.
They had a subtitle version of it.
I know, but I just, you know.
Yeah.
I want a dub.
I think this is going to be really, really cool. I mean, I love Level 5. I think they're phenomenal. I love the Professor Layton games. The Phoenix Wright games are really cool, too. I've generally enjoyed the ones that I've played. I just really want this game now, and it's unfortunately right now only confirmed for Japan.
Yeah, when I first heard this game announced, it actually took me a good long while to come to the realization that these two franchises aren't from the same developer. I think for a while there, I kind of just assumed they were when I heard there was a crossover in play.
They're definitely
not
very
even from
similar.
The same publisher.
Yeah, I know. They've got nothing in common really, except for they're both.
Although
awesome,
technically
so.
In Japan, they are the same publisher and developer for both games because Level 5 self-publishes it in Japan for the Professor Layton series.
Hmm.
But Level 5 doesn't develop the Phoenix Wright games.
No. I mean, like, it's like not even from the same publisher was a comment that someone made. And
Right. I'm with you now.
Yeah, Nintendo is not a part of this announcement because it's a Level 5 and Capcom together.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious how this game's actually going to, like, play. Are they going to bring the random puzzles into the courtroom? Maybe are they going to bring the?
This doesn't make much gameplay sense to me.
It doesn't have to. It's so awesome.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things where, like, if it's just kind of some weird combination
It is a game. I mean, it has to work as a game, right? I can only see them just, like, splitting it up in chunks or, you know, having one part follow the other. And that could be really exciting. But
I think they'll kind of merge it because, I mean, the exploration elements of Layton and the investigation elements of Phoenix Wright aren't that different. One of them involves a lot of random-ass puzzles. And the other one involves a lot more, like, narrative, I guess.
Yeah.
So my guess is we'll see some kind of a hybrid there with some puzzles that are probably a little bit more crucial to the story. And then I have to imagine we'll get some pretty classic courtroom scenes that have sort of a Layton-esque flair to them. I think they'll just merge them. They'll just merge them straight up down the middle.
I would really like to see something like, almost have the kind of the two games running in tandem. And, like, maybe alternate, like, switch between controlling Professor Layton and Phoenix Wright. Or have kind of, like, where it's, like, Phoenix Wright and Luke are walking around or something like that. And you have stuff where you put Professor Layton in a patently Phoenix Wright situation and vice versa.
If you had a close encounters of the third kind of deal where you're having, like, multiple stories running parallel to each other, I think that might be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
I think it'll be cool when Phoenix Wright points and says objection. He's pointing to you.
Whoa! 3D.
That's awesome.
So that'll be cool. There's really no information aside from the trailer.
Yeah.
I think the animation was there a movie in the trailer, right?
Yeah, the whole thing.
I remember. Okay, I'm just seeing if I remember it correctly. It looked great.
I think they should do an animated movie. I mean, they did in Japan for Layton.
Well, that came to Europe, too. Here? It's not coming out to North America. Bullshit.
Well, hopefully there's enough storage in the 3DS to where they can just basically throw that in.
Yeah.
Into the, as part of the game.
Yeah, it is supporting 3D movies, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 No, excited. Right, well, we don't really know anything about it, but the prospect of it, sounds great.
The possibilities are endless.
Yep.
The Shaman from the forums had a choice quote of, "This is not a Game of the Year candidate. I will eat Layton's hat."
I would do that anyways, so okay.
You know, I liked Greg's comment on RFN like 2 weeks ago. I forget exactly what the context was, but he said he would buy a leather glove just so he could take it off and slap somebody with it. I thought that was great.
I think it was the context was whether or not the game would actually come out in his region.
Oh, maybe.
I think that was it. I could be wrong, but good times.
It was funny. It made me laugh.
Good times.
All right. Well, that's actually all the top news stories.
It's
been
slow.
A slow week.
We're in the season of game releases,
Yep. Well, let's do the quick hits.
Do you want me to do the Rock Band Minute?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do
the Rock
do
Band
it.
Yeah,
Minute.
Yeah. I guess because this is our quick hit is two bits of Rock Band news, and I just figure I've been playing the crap out of Rock Band 3, so these are both very relevant to me. The first one is that Billy Joel is going to be hitting Rock Band downloadable content in December. It's going to be a 12 sound track pack. Well, that's not actually on the list. Stuff like Piano Man, Big Shot, Strangers on it.
The best part about this news is the reason why he's going to be on Rock Band.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like,
well, there's 12 songs. There's a list of 10 that we have in the news story if you go out and check it on the site. But the reason is because on The Office, someone made a comment about it, and some guy in Entertainment Weekly was like, hopefully, Billy Joel will never come to Rock Band. And then Billy Joel was like, well, fuck that. I'm going to be in Rock Band.
Yeah, he called his agent and said, get me on Rock Band right now.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think it's going to be really awesome, especially with the keyboard. I'm not a huge Billy Joel fan.
Yeah, I'm glad he waited
until
the keys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will probably only...
Tickling the ivories.
Pick a song or two from this pack. Like, I'll probably end up getting Piano Man even though the song's kind of overplayed.
Because it's
like,
a guitar.
Yeah, everyone knows it.
You probably wouldn't have guessed this about me, but I used to be like a gigantic Billy Joel fan.
Me too, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a switch.
I mean, I don't really know many people that like totally despise Billy Joel. So.
Right, right.
Yeah, he's got good songs.
Yeah. And then there's going to be this 12-song track pack coming out in December that it's like his greatest hits or something. And then there will be a 6-song pack that's coming out in the spring that will be like really, really hard piano ones or something.
That's
like,
pretty awesome.
That's kind of like... it was mentioned somewhere, and it was mentioned that that's true, but I don't know. There's not that much information as far as that goes. And the last bit of Rock Band 3 news is that all of John Lennon's album, Imagine, will be coming out to Rock Band 3 in the near future. It's said that it's one of the first full albums to come out on the Rock Band 3 downloadable content. It's going to have 9 songs because the song that the title song from the album, Imagine, is already in Rock Band 3. So that's kind of cool. And also, if you get Rock Band 3, probably you only have a few more days after this comes out, you can get 3 The Doors songs for free. Riders on the Storm, Light My Fire, and Touch Me are all free. Nice. And there's also 9 other The Doors songs that are coming out this week. They're already out. And the reason why those 3 are free is because those happen to be the only 3 that have pro guitar charts. And that's really cool that Harmonix is offering those for free on the week of the game's release.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I love
that. Are you gonna spring for the pro guitar?
Probably not. I don't have the money.
Yeah.
It's cool. I have the keyboard. That gets me my pro fix. But we'll talk more about
that's all you need.
We'll talk more about Rock Band 3 when we talk about new releases. I guess watch a review or something like that.
Yep.
In the middle of the night, I've been walking in my sleep. That's all I got.
Oh, dang. I was kind of hoping you were just going to go all the way.
I only know interlude. Select verses in that song, though.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll play it in the background on Polo Cast.
You know what's good? We Didn't Start the Fire is not on that.
Oh. Yeah, we're going to play We Didn't Start the Fire on Polo Cast as well.
Hell yeah.
Excited for Polo Cast. When's that coming out, guys?
It's coming soon.
Yep.
To a newscast near you. Now
we have to figure out how you play polo.
All right, yeah. So let's go to the next news story, Zach.
Host. All right, fine. Fine, I'm the host, damn it.
Oh, I'm just poking.
Yeah, poke. Disc-free Netflix finally available for Wii.
Yay.
The same day that it was made available for PS3.
But see, Sony actually informed people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the difference.
So now it's on both of my devices, and I love it so much.
Yeah, I've been using it a lot lately, actually.
I've watched Netflix way more than I usually do now that it's just on my Wii dashboard, because then I can basically...
I started watching Avatar, and it's insanely good.
Avatar is on the
streaming? No, not that Avatar, Andy.
Oh, okay.
No, Avatar the Last Airbender, the gotcha. American anime.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
American anime?
Yes.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I also started Witchblade, the anime, and it's a little weird.
So, Morari has a forum quote here. I would definitely suggest it if you have Netflix. The channel is actually pretty robust and is more in line with what you'd expect from the service. I always did think that the disc felt almost awfully stripped down. And, yeah, he's right.
That's
the disc
true.
Was stripped down. This one's got a search function. And I think there was some kind of reports about how, like, subtitles weren't available in it, but I know... I was screwing around with it, and I had subtitles on mine. I guess that's not an issue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I noticed that there's a change in the layout.
The look and feel of it is much better.
Just how it works.
Much
yeah,
more
yeah. It feels nice.
It's like Netflix Wii 2.0, and it's cool. I like it.
See, I have Netflix on the 360 right now. I went a long while just using the Wii one because I didn't have an Xbox Live Gold subscription. I can't imagine there's any reason to actually use the Wii one over the 360 one, right?
Right.
Andy,
no,
you have
no,
both, yeah.
All.
I have both. I'm using the Wii one a lot more right now because I have it hooked up to a non-HD television.
So I guess in that case it wouldn't.
Basically, I've been spending a lot more time with my secondary TV than my primary TV lately due to both the fact that it's in a better lit room and also due to the fact that I actually set my primary TV in for repair.
Okay.
And as a result, I've been using the crap out of Netflix on the Wii, especially with now that they have the disc-free version. I was already using it pretty heavily before, but now I'm using it a lot. It's really nice that they actually like took the time to update the channel because I mean, you got to believe that of the 3 major consoles, Wii owners are probably using Netflix the least, right? I mean, that makes
I think there was a report recently that like I think the Netflix Wii one is getting some of the most use.
Really?
I know that Nintendo places advertisements inside of the Netflix discs case that they
Johnny
send out.
Yeah, Johnny made that on a comment.
Oh
on
yeah,
that
he did mention that. And I think a lot of the people that see that, you know, they may have, if they're technically savvy enough to use Netflix, then they probably own a Wii, and they, you know, they see that, and then, yeah.
Sure, sure.
You know, my wife uses the Wii Netflix, and I use the PS3 one. She just likes it because it has an easier. She doesn't have to deal with a controller.
Yeah, no, that's my whole thing with it. Makes sense. I don't really care too much about, like, the. I mean, okay, if I'm watching a certain movie, then I care about the visual and audio quality of it. But if I'm just, like, you know, watching, you know, like a cartoon show or a TV show or just a shitty movie, I'll just pop on the Wii because I like having the interaction of, like, the remote in my hand, as opposed to the PS3, the 360, or the 360, which I don't have anymore because I see no reason to have a gold account anymore. But I realized when I was talking in the talkback thread about that my point is pretty much invalid because thanks to my lovely fiance Lauren, who made me get a PS3 like USB remote thing for the DVD player because she borrowed my PS3 to watch Blu-rays, that I don't have that excuse and I should just use the PS3 because it'll look and sound better. But whatever, I like.
Yeah. No, I like being able to just set down the Wii remote, you know, and then just pick it up when I want to. And then the Xbox controller always has that damn light show when it's running out of batteries, but it's not actually running out of batteries.
When it's like half out of batteries.
Well, the Wii boots faster for one.
Yeah.
It's got a cleaner interface at boot than either the other systems. Because my primary TV is in for repairs right now, I have all of my consoles on my one TV.
Right.
And I'm still using the Netflix on the Wii first because partially because I was just used to it, but also just because it's a faster interface. It takes less time to get started, and the visual fidelity of the PS3 and Xbox 360 are negated if I'm on this TV. So, although I did watch a Blu-ray via a 480i composite connection the other day, and you know what? It looks like a DVD. Go figure.
Oh, wow.
Now, here's a question for you guys. Do you think that Netflix will eventually, I'm not saying tomorrow or even next year, but eventually abandon mailing discs and go fully digital?
They've already announced within the last 2 weeks a streaming-only subscription, which is the first time they've allowed that in the States.
They've been talking about that for quite a while. Are they actually implementing it now?
Well, I know a lot of movies you can't get on Netflix Instant. They're disc only.
I think they're gonna have to work out a lot of like rights, digital rights stuff before licensing they can make bugs, that move. Yeah. But I think now that we're seeing Netflix on built straight into televisions, it's gonna
that is
a lot closer than we think.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm finding myself using Instant a lot more than I'm using disc based at this point.
I mean, in all honesty, like I kind of. With the exception of, like, a couple of DVDs here or there, like, you know, I'm going to buy Scott Pilgrim when it comes out on DVD, and I get, like, the DC Animated Universe stuff whenever it comes out. I don't even really buy DVDs anymore because Netflix
I have so many.
And anything else, I mean, right now I'm kind of piggybacking on Lauren's parents' Netflix account. And even with that, like, if we really want to see a movie and it's not on Netflix Instant, she can just rent it on Netflix using her parents' account.
Yeah.
We can watch it that way. Like...
In general, the stuff they have on the Netflix streaming isn't that great.
But they keep on adding more and more. Like
They keep adding things. That's the key thing.
It's drastically improved from even like a year ago.
Yeah.
True.
It constantly improves. Like,
but I also have a thing for crappy movies, so it works out in my favor.
Me too.
They do. No, it's great. Every week, I have something to watch.
Okay. Actually, next we're doing
What you're reviewing.
Neil, what are we reviewing, Neil?
Well, I already reviewed it, and I guess this,
yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
well, Zach's got to give it a normal human score, right?
I might give it a review too, because
no, Neil.
I wouldn't give it what you gave it, but so I might write my own review.
Kirby's Epic Yarn is the best game to come out this entire year, in my opinion. And I'm kind of negating the next 2 months, but like really, I can't imagine a game making me happier, me having more fun with a game than Kirby's Epic Yarn. It was just joy and blast.
And I cannot think of a better reason to give a game a 10, so I was just giving you crap, essentially.
Oh, no, I know.
You're wrong.
No hard feelings, bro. But Kirby's Epic Yarn, it's, you know, I'm sure as anyone who's listening to this podcast are kind of familiar with it, you know, it has the whole yarn aesthetic. It's not quite the typical Kirby game. he basically has, you know, he has like a yarn lasso that he can use to like kind of like attack enemies and pick them up and throw them. He like can turn, he transforms a lot throughout the game. Like if you like double tap to do a run, he'll turn into a little car and you can like do more jumps that way. And there's other transformations where like he'll turn into a tank, he'll turn into a fire engine, he'll turn into
rocket.
A rocket. There's shoot 'em up levels in this game that are just
so cool. Awesome.
It's really like this game throughout all the levels. There's 7 worlds. I'm trying to think. I want to say there's like 40 to 50
more than
levels,
that.
Something like that. Every single level surprised me in some kind of way, made me smile, had some kind of cool gameplay mechanic that I'm just like, wow, that's really, really cool. And like just everything about the game, even the boss fights I thought were really cool. And I guess
they're a little easy.
I mean, they're a little easy, but see, the whole thing is that I think the boss fights are a good example of how the game works so well, despite not, you can't die in the game. All you do, you lose beads.
Right.
But in the boss
you
fights,
you lose your gems.
Yeah, in the boss fights, if you lose these gems, these beads, whatever, then you won't be able to unlock the 2 secret levels in each world.
Right.
Each world has, in addition to, I think, 6 main levels, there's 2 extra ones. And
yes, and they're generally gimmick based.
Yeah, but they're still really, really awesome. But the way each stage works is that you have a bronze, silver, and a gold medal that you can go for, and then in the boss battles, you have the bronze, silver, and gold, and there's also like kind of a platinum that will be a badge that will unlock another level, unlock the next level in the world, the secret
the first bonus
and
stage.
You basically have to do those. Not only can you not really get hit by the boss, you also need to find other ways to attack it that don't kill it, which I thought was really cool. And on a couple of the later bosses, that became part of the puzzle. Like, the boss was easy to beat, but it was like, all right, how do I, you know, get more hits on him and get more beads out of him so that way I can get the extra levels?
Yeah. I'm playing it, too. I'm almost done with it. What really impresses me is just the amount of imagination that goes into it. Like, it's like you said, every level is something new. But even though every world is themed, like ice, snow-themed or whatever, that doesn't necessarily apply to each stage.
Yeah, it's true. They have Treatland, which I even directly mentioned in my review.
Treatland's so great. I love the musical instrument level.
Yeah, that was...
That was
I mentioned one in my review, and I... Well, no, basically what this level is that, like, as you're walking through the level, like, you know, you'll come across, like, a keyboard. And it'll be, like, a platform on the stage, and you'll walk
and
on the keyboard.
And it'll, like, play music as you walk along.
It'll play the notes, and then basically it's, like, as you jump
and the
through
the
level...
And the notes turn into gems.
Yeah, as you play through the level... Like, you can basically, like, almost, like, make music as you go, and it's just really, really awesome.
Yeah.
And it's
cool. Yeah, there have been a lot of Little Big Planet levels like that and stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of people have compared this game to Little Big Planet just from
the
visual standpoint. Oh, yeah. That's good.
This,
like,
game,
co-op,
this game
okay.
has good jumping mechanics.
Yeah, and, like, the co-op is actually fun. Although the co-op instantly goes to Griefland very, very easy.
Oh, really?
Like,
every co-op game does these days.
If you're good enough, can you avoid someone trying to grief you?
Yeah,
and still make progress.
That's hard.
Okay.
I like the transformations a lot. Like the shmup stuff is cool, but I think my favorite is the rally car.
Oh yeah, the rally car is
really
cool, and I like the fire engine because that's where like.
You tilt
with the Wii remote to like shoot water out of the fire engine. And you move around and like there's some. Cool
but it's yarn water, right?
Yeah, it's yarn water.
God, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's just 2 blue strings.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been really hard for me not to get this game, and I'm not avoiding
it's
it
amazing,
for
dude.
Any particular reason outside of that I have midterms right now, so I'm kind of waiting because I know I will just get lost in this. Kirby is one of my favorites.
My favorite aspect of the whole game is the narrator.
Oh, where it's kind of like that storybook,
awesome.
The guy who does all the voices. Has anyone ever watched the show Space Ghost Coast to Coast?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Where they have the episodes where it's like the storybook theater stuff, where it's like this old guy retelling Space Ghost episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what this kind of reminded me of, because it's just like this... Not necessarily like monotone guy, but just this dude telling the story, and then like he does.
No, he's not monotone at all.
Characters.
He's very enthusiastic. Yeah. We got it.
Oh, and I heard like he makes
got
like
the
voices.
Magic yarn.
It's like an audio
book to a little kid. Oh man, God,
yeah, exactly.
That sounds wow.
And meanwhile, stuff's, you know, a little cartoon's playing in the background. He's narrating it. It's so cute. Yeah. It's so awesome.
And one last thing that I guess this will be my parting shot on this is that something that I didn't really have room to mention in my review is that in each world, what's really cool is that, like, okay, like, you beat a level, and then I guess, what is it? It's a badge, right? It's been like a week or two since I played the game.
A patch. A little
yeah,
patch.
Yeah, a patch. And
like a merit badge.
And then you throw the patch, and it'll go to this certain area. And, like, it's like there's one, like, I can think of one off the top of my head where it's a bell. And then you go through, throw the bell, and then, like, an enemy comes out and hits the bell, and or, like, the bell's ringing, and the enemy comes out and just, like, knocks the bell away, and then it opens up the door to the next one. And with every level that you unlock.
So the, like, background, the map changes as you go.
Yeah, and it's just really, it's once again, it's just another part of the game where you're just like, oh, that's so cute. Like, that's adorable. Man.
I like it in the space game. Level where you find a little UFO patch and you throw it, and then all these yarn UFOs come down and start beaming yarn platforms down, and there's, like, yarn electricity going, and it's just cool.
This game's amazing.
Oh, man, I have a stupid smile on my face.
I just want to stop recording and, like, start a game of this over and play it again because I just had so much fun. And what, Nate? You haven't played this game, but I'm jealous of you because you can go and experience this game with fresh eyes because I can't do that anymore. I already played it.
Neil, I like the,
wait, stop,
the kind
stop,
of the,
stop.
They're not, hold on. Just one more thing.
I liked every
the bad guys who hold spears, and when you take their spear, they're like, oh, fuck, and they start to run away.
But I think that
Kirby's Epic Yarn is a great game.
I gave it a 10. I adored it, and it's one of the games that I've had the most fun with in years, and definitely
one of the best Wii games for sure.
I've only given one other game a 10 in my time at NWR, and that was Punch Out. And really, those are just two games that throughout playing it all, I just smiled and was happy. And I love both of those games, and I love Kirby. I have a Rock Band 3 review up, so I've been reviewing that. And I'm working on a DJ Hero 2 review.
That didn't go to John?
Oh, well, wow. Well, John's been really busy, right? So
John's moving, bro.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
And plus, like, DJ Hero is the shit. But we'll talk about that later.
Like, wait, did you say it's just shit or the shit?
No, it's awesome. I love that game.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So, Nate, talk about Oops Prank Party. I'm interested.
Oops?
Okay. So
it's no Kirby.
Well, yeah, okay, no, it's not.
Is it as good as Happy Birthday, Mark?
No. Okay, from a...
I don't know if that's good or bad.
From two points of view, it's not as good as Happy Birthday, Mark. From a, oh my god, this game is so bad, it's hilarious, it's not as good as Happy Birthday, Mark. From a, this is a game I have to play, it's still not as good as Happy Birthday, Mark. It's... Wow. It's really bad, but it's not funny in its horribleness. I guess the one cool thing about it is that my character is a tall black man with pigtails, an orange mustache, a sort of a track exercise shirt, and very tight-fitting jean shorts, with the voice of a young Japanese girl, and his name is Lola. That is the one bit of fun I've managed to...
Lola?
Lola, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Because that was sort of also a song about gender confusion, so I thought I'd give him that name. And then my girlfriend's character is an elderly woman in biker's clothing with a goatee.
Okay.
So the character creation's kind of fun. And, well, it's not, but it's fun to make messed up things in it. And I feel so bad for making someone play this with me because it is just shit. Like the fact I have a whole rant set up in my mind. So go. No, what?
You
had a positive experience with this game, didn't you?
Well, because I Hudson will occasionally send out these demo discs. Still waiting for those Beyblade impressions. Zach, okay. Come on, let's go. But Hudson will send out demo discs.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they sent out Oops Prank Party, like, back in September, and I played it. There's impressions up on the site, and not that it was anything amazing, but, like, you know, I thought the minigames were kind of, like, you know, quick-paced, fun, reminded me of Mario Party minigames. And, okay, yeah, the whole prank aspect of it was really stupid because it's just like, haha, you're going to be in a banana costume. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, that's okay. That's really, other than that, like, the mini games seemed fun.
Oh, okay. So I don't know how many mini games you played or
like,
how long.
Maybe like 10, 15 out of
maybe
like the
10 of them.
That are in it.
They don't expand much beyond that.
Oh.
Right? There are several varieties kind of it, and then outside of that, they're all just kind of riffs on existing things or just, you know, like same idea, different wrapper kind of, and you know, like they're varied, I guess, but they end up feeling kind of the same. I guess I can't say they're like, oh, they're all about jumping into squares or something, but they end up feeling the same, even though they're slightly different concepts, and it just gets really
sometimes you're jumping into circles.
Yeah, sure, or something like that. And really, God, it doesn't mix it up enough. It takes too long to get into the mini games themselves, and I think the whole shell of the game is just freaking boring. I don't know. It's not structured interestingly enough.
Fun. So you're recommending this game, sir?
No, not at all. Okay, so the whole wrapper of the game itself is boring. Like there's a mode where you can just play the mini games. You can play them in little rounds against a game master. Like, so it's supposed to be a challenge, but I mean, I played a game against the game master and he lost horrifically on his first one. So I don't know what that's about. And then there's like a Mario Party kind of board game thing. And it's literally just colored squares on a white checkerboard that you're running across.
So it's just like, unimaginative.
Right, they made no effort with it. You've got like this retarded Elton John looking host that just kind of stands there and goes like,
him.
yeah, like every...
Yeah.
Oh, and the sound in this game, like the music is grating. Everyone's just yelling unintelligible noises the whole time and giggling because it's so funny that someone had to wear the leotard because they lost.
I highly recommend that anyone that is not even really interested in this game, but just kind of want to see what this game's about. We have an interview that I did using like with it was obviously translated by the PR company because you know this is made by Hudson and I think it was like the Japanese producer did the interview. And I feel like the answer to every question is like, and it's so much fun to prank your friends.
It's not
so much fun to prank your friends. It's so funny.
Whole,
we just want to make it hysterical.
The whole prank aspect of this game just falls completely short. I don't think any of that is funny. And that is your motivation for playing with someone, I guess. Or, you know, that's what they intended your motivation to be, is to have fun pranking your friends. But it's just, it is just not. Like, you don't do anything meaningful to them, like, there's no gameplay consequence to winning or pranking them. It's just they have to wear a funny outfit. And if you do well enough, maybe you win a nice piece of clothing for your avatar.
Yeah.
And that is, like, your motivation in the whole game. And the minigames are just so shoddy. Like, it feels like they had to make all the ideas in a day. Like, okay, guys, we need to make up a minigame. How about one where you pick a diving board and see who jumps down on the correct invisible target?
Wow.
What the hell is that? That's not even a game. You know, that transcends idiocy. There's no point in engaging with that. I don't find that fun at all because there's no payoff. Like, people play slot machines that are essentially the same. Like, you're just, let's throw something up to chance, but hey, you might win money. I don't know. This is just not fun. And the controls don't always work very well. The controls aren't very tight for all the different mini games because they had to implement so many things that they don't feel finely tuned. And none of them last very long either. But I think I've spent longer loading the mini games and like waiting for the stupid like intro thing to it to play through than you do on most of the games themselves. Like, dealing with all the accoutrements that come with the games, like the stupid standing on pedestals and everyone jeering and running in circles to avoid having to wear the kimono or something takes longer than actually playing the retarded game that you have to play. I don't know.
So this might be something you'd make your kids play when they misbehave.
Yes, the whole game is aggressively bad.
Aggressively bad.
It is.
It's something they had to actively fuck up.
It's offending. It's offending because I find stuff like maybe like Happy Birthday Mark to be kind of endearing to me because I can at least laugh at something. But this is just obnoxious the whole time. And it's I'm amazed they're asking money for this.
Because to be fair, it's not a lot of money, but
it's $20, but that's $20, man.
Holy crap.
It's still $20. Like
yeah.
I would be saying the same things if this was an $8 WiiWare game.
Yeah.
It would still be shit. It would still be a collection, a high volume of useless, boring games that don't particularly control very well with zero motivation for playing them. Oh.
Well, I think that's enough about Oop's Prank Party. Let's move on to something, I guess, slightly happier. Zach, you've got a couple games that you've been playing lately, don't you?
Yes, I can go over both of them very quickly. Band Hero's been out for like over a year, but I just recently got the big box of it. So I got Band Hero for Wii, and it is awful. I shouldn't say that.
How does it compare?
It has a ton of content, tons of content.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the track list is for 14-year-old girls.
So that means for 14-year-old girls it's good, it's just that for anyone else it's shitty?
There you go.
Hmm.
Would you like to play not one but two songs by Taylor Swift?
Oh, crap. It sounds like I'd like this.
Are they good songs? Are they like no. rock out songs?
She has rock out songs?
It's probably the one about her cell phone, right?
Songs.
Yeah.
Is one of them about her boyfriend?
Yeah. One of them is about...
But doesn't this legitimately have some good songs? Like, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, it has Rio on it, which is a good song. Duran Duran.
See, I played the DS version of this for review. I don't know about.
There's seven, connectivity between the Band Hero
7 or 8 months ago, but like I remember thinking, yeah. I was looking forward to the controls being so bad that the subpar track list was not a deterrent. You know what I mean?
Like, biggest concern.
I was actually fairly impressed with the way the game controlled, so I didn't have that big of a problem with the track list. But like with the Wii version. The game mechanics are absolutely a known commodity, so the track list
is
everything.
Yeah.
So I gave the game a fairly decent review on DS based on the fact that it was
just
not
because it was a good implementation
horrible.
Of that style of gameplay for its platform.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but it's interesting to me that basically the exact same idea on Wii, which is implemented considerably better because it has, you know, the hardware to do it.
Right.
Gets knocked, not because it's a worse game, but because its flaws are far more glaring.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, music.
You know, but I will say that, you know, it's got DS connectivity for both Band Hero and just normal DS, but you have to have two guitars to use the DS connectivity, which is kind of a shame.
Wait, why do you need two?
Well, okay, Zach. You
need two guitars for guitar battle, for roadie battle. You need two guitars. Yeah.
Okay, but don't they also have the thing, the set list manager was introduced in that game, right?
Yeah, no, they have, they have that too. You know, that's, yeah, okay.
Well, okay, well, Zach, considering the Wii's, you know, place in the market, there should be a market for this game, right? You know, people will enjoy
it. Yeah, sure, yeah.
Right? Is it implemented poorly, or you just have a problem with...
Well, it's Guitar Hero, you know, it's a Guitar Hero game, and...
Which sell like crazy.
Right.
Because people see their favorite bands on it, or whatever.
Right. You know, it's just weird to me that it's not called like Guitar Hero Party Vert Edition or something because it's clearly a Guitar Hero game.
Right.
They even have the Guitar Hero Music Studio. It's called Guitar Hero Music Studio and they're not Band Hero.
So they should just call it like Puberty Hero or...
Imagine Rockstar.
There you go.
That's already taken.
I just don't care for the track list. I mean, it's an impressive game. And if you're a 14-year-old girl and you're having a sleepover, why not?
All right. How about the other game?
Wait a minute. The other thing I want to say is I really don't like having to hook up the Wii instruments to the Wii remotes because that's a friggin' hassle.
Well, I noticed, I don't know what exactly guitar, like, because they have all the different variations, but I've been reviewing. Yeah. Part of the reason why you have Band Hero, by the way, and why we have this year gap between the game actually coming out, is that when we got Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock, we got the game separate and then the Band Hero bundle. And because I'm the only person on staff with any kind of musical instruments, someone got tasked with getting Band Hero. So, Zach, welcome to hell. You'll be reviewing Guitar Hero games from now until you die.
Nice.
But like, they have the different controllers, and how they work for Wii is that, at least for the Guitar Hero ones, I believe the Rock Band ones don't require that. You have to put the Wii Remote inside the instrument somehow, and on the Guitar Hero World Tour guitar, it was really easy. You had enough room to, you know, put the wrist strap in there, it would fit snugly. Well, and then on the Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock guitar that I played Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock with, it was fucking impossible to get that goddamn thing to stay in there. It fit the wrist strap, and it was just like, what happened?
But once you get inside, you're fine, right?
Well, no, because because then you have to take it out if you ever want to use that.
Oh, right, yeah, exactly. Well, with the guitar, there's a little notch where you can fold up the wrist strap, which is kind of nice, but you still have to take it out of the condom.
I go in unprotected.
But with the drums, there's literally no room for the condom, and there's no room for the wrist strap.
Wow.
And this is like the new set of drums too, which is supposed to be.
It is the new set of drums, and they're pretty nice. Yeah. You know, technically they're pretty nice. But the real thing that bugs me about the drums is that, you know how inside the hatch there's a little connector cable that you plug the bottom of the Wii Remote into?
Yeah.
Well, in the drums, it is an L shape. So you plug the Wii Remote in, but then you can't put it all the way down in there.
That's because of the
L shape.
It's what?
It's such bullshit. So what you end up doing is you end up kind of forcing the cord into this bizarre position, and then really forcing the latch back down and worrying about injuring something in there. And it just
someone needs to re-edit
this would have been
this
a much better conversation shortly after the announcement of the Wii's name, I feel.
Yeah. But, no, I think I actually understand what you mean. I think the DJ Hero controllers for Wii are similar.
Yeah, it's kind of bad design. And the other game I'm reviewing, and I just put up a review in copy edit for, is Ben 10 Ultimate Alien Cosmic Destruction.
Which we did talk about before our newscast, right?
Well, no, we talked about Ben 10 Alien Force.
Yeah, that was the one that came out last year. This is... So yes. How exactly is this different from the one that came out last
year? This is
year?
Actually vastly improved. You don't have to switch when you're switching alien forms. For those who don't know, these are basically cameo.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked a little bit about it last episode.
Right. And so Ben 10 has like 10 different forms, and they all have situationally specific environmental, you know, things. But you used to have to switch from an alien form back to Ben and then switch to another alien form. But and that was cumbersome and annoying. In this one, you can just switch between the alien forms whenever you want.
Cool.
So that speeds things up. The combat's better because there's more variety. And it's actually in 3D now instead of being like Donkey Kong Country, which is a huge improvement. And there's a lot more platforming, and there's stuff to find in the environments, and I like the game. So if you like Ben 10, go get this one.
Okay, that's cool.
Very good.
All right, Andy, you got something you want to talk about quickly.
Yeah, I don't have anything to review because there's just nothing. Nothing's come my way in quite some time. I'm hoping to get the Wii version of SmackDown vs. Raw 2011. Have not got confirmation of the review copy yet from the publisher, so I'm still waiting on that. But the only thing I kind of wanted to mention was that I am putting on a live stream of Zelda Wind Waker periodically over the next few weeks. I'll be bumping a thread in the forums. It's a talkback thread for the blog post that I made. So if you have any interest in watching a guy figure out how to play Wind Waker after his initial playthrough was like 7 years ago, feel free to jump into the little live streaming chat room that I linked to. I'm having some trouble getting the video quality to be where I want it, but it's still certainly not hard to... It's not that bad. It's just not that great either.
I dropped in for a bit to say hi, and I plan on watching further.
How was the video quality when you
watched it too?
I watched for a very brief bit the other day.
As did I.
Fun to watch.
Actually, I stopped in and I typed my name and I said, "Hey, Andy," and then a bunch of people yelled, "Hey, Nathan." I was like, "Hey, that was cool," and I left. But, yep. it seemed fine.
Well, it's sort of a joint project with another forum that I'm in, just because they seem to find it entertaining that I'm doing this, so they were in there. And there's another guy in the other forum named Nathan, so I think maybe they thought you were him.
Oh.
it's kind of funny. I thought about typing wrong Nathan, but I didn't really figure anyone would... No one needed to know. but anyway, yeah, how was the video quality when you stopped in? Was it decent?
It was fine, yeah. I knew what part you were at, and okay. I could kind of read the text on the screen.
I'm telling. I know I watched the Metroid Prime marathon a couple mm-hmm. year or so ago when Nick DeMola was doing it, and I thought the video quality was a little better there than what I'm getting now. But anyway, it's not something I'll be doing every night. Just something I'll be doing hopefully maybe a couple nights a week. So check that forum thread. Look for me to bump it, and if you see me bump it, then go check out that live stream.
And, if you guys want to see more like live stream marathon kind of stuff, email newscast@nintendoworldreport.com.
Absolutely.
And maybe we'll try to put something together. I know I talked about back when we did the Mega Man 9 Game Club about doing a Mega Man marathon mm-hmm. that I was going to do with some friends, but that kind of fell through because one of my friends was like working for the entire summer and we couldn't find the time that we could do it together. But it's something that I'm definitely always thinking about in the back of my head, and if their support for it, then I will be pushed more to think about doing it.
Well, so. If this Wind Waker one picks up steam and I seem to be getting people to actually stop in and say hello, I may do the same thing for Twilight Princess, which is my plan after I Ooh. Finish Wind Waker.
Cool. So. And then probably by the time you're done Twilight Princess, you can do that for Skyward Sword.
Yeah, perhaps.
Well, I was thinking of marathoning the Ralph Lauren-sponsored polo game. So.
Yeah.
It's been fun. The people that were in there, I had like at least 7 or 8 people watching me play Wind Waker the other day, and there was just a lot of people that were taunting me as I continued to fail to solve the puzzle and or win the combat. There was a lot of people trying to get me to go to a certain part of the game. One of the guys in there was trying to point me towards the direction of the ghost ship every 5 minutes, which I hadn't.
Did you get stuck for an embarrassing amount of time in the stealth sequence?
No, I'm past the stealth sequence.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I'm already pretty
good. That is the worst part of that game.
Well, that's one of my, like, I mean, I guess since we're just talking about Wind Waker, there's those moments in Wind Waker and Twilight Princess that just makes me never want to replay those games.
Oh, yeah.
Because I hate that stealth sequence in Wind Waker.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The tutorial sequence in Twilight Princess is, like, an hour.
Oh, God, it takes so freaking
long. And it's actually, I don't know
if you can't save.
I don't know if anyone remembers. I think there was an interview sometime recently where apparently, or... forget exactly. I remember reading this sometime in the past couple months, where Miyamoto basically mandated that it's like originally that Twilight Princess Village, you were there for a day and then you went mm-hmm. off and did what you want, and then Miyamoto mandated that like spend 4 days there. So it's all the crazy genius's fault why I can never play Twilight Princess ever again.
I've actually
that is,
been really
yeah, that is the worst.
I've been really, really like looking forward to replaying Twilight Princess. I think. I enjoyed Twilight Princess on the first time through more than I enjoyed most other Zelda games on the first time through.
I kind of have to agree with you, but I have, like, after trying to replay Twilight Princess, I never want to play that game ever again.
I didn't like it the first time. I always thought it was kind of a subpar game.
I will never replay it. I really enjoyed it, but it's actually the first Zelda that I've ever sold.
Usually
I keep Zelda. It's golden.
Yeah,
you have to keep it.
I haven't sold it, but it's been in the possession of Lauren's sister's boyfriend for about 4 or 5 months, and I don't give a shit.
I'm looking forward to replaying it. To be perfectly honest, I kind of can't wait.
Well, you know what, Andy? You're wrong.
Oh, well, all right.
You're wrong, Andy.
But first, I have to get through Wind Waker, and I'm pretty far into the game. I just got to the fire arrows, so... For those of you,
God, I love that game. I love that game much.
I've been trying to think of reasons why I should replay that. So maybe I'll just look.
I'll give you one right now. When you first go into the castle.
Oh yeah, that's a great.
Do you want to hear my reason to replay Wind Waker?
Sure.
Yes.
3DS remake.
Oh man.
So why would I want to replay it now? I should just wait for that.
Yeah, God, that would be great.
And for those of you who are wondering if this sort of represents me coming back to that replay all the Zelda games project that I touched on about a year ago, this is me basically giving up on that because I barely got through Oracle of Ages.
Don't play games that you don't feel like playing, man. That's the stupidest thing you can do with your time.
Well, it's not that I don't want to play Zelda games. I mean, I love Zelda games, but I tell you what, playing through Link's Awakening, Link to the Past, mm-hmm. Oracle of Ages, or Seasons, playing through all those games kind of back to back made me just not want to ever play a 2D Zelda game again. To be perfectly honest.
So that's why you didn't get to ship that 3D Dot Game Heroes.
That's probably part of the reason, yeah.
That could be it, yeah.
I don't know why, but, like, I started playing the first, like, 15 minutes of Oracle of Ages, and I could not bring myself to care at all about it.
I can't imagine running through all the 2Ds in such quick succession. Actually, that would get pretty old.
I think I kind
of
mentioned this once upon a time, but, like, I think what I learned from this project was that I vastly prefer 3D Zelda, and that was really a surprise to me, because 2D Zelda was always – kind of claimed that as my favorite genre of game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I much prefer 3D Zelda. The fact that it's the combat's fairly easy doesn't really bug me that much. I just love the exploration is much more fun.
I agree with that, except the exception for me is that Link's Awakening is my absolute favorite Zelda.
Yeah, like I think that Link's Awakening and Link to the Past are both fantastic games.
Yeah, they're both wonderful games.
But my thing is that, like, I think that Ocarina of Time and Wind Waker and even Twilight Princess are kind of not necessarily like years beyond, but I think they're a lot better. And that's it has to do with the 3D interaction, like being able to explore the world in a different way. And the 2D ones are fun, but just I mean, I kind of have to agree with Andy in that, like, you know, they're fun, but they don't stack up to the 3D ones.
But yeah, I was trying to like get myself geared up to play through Ages so I could get to Wind Waker. And after about 9 months of trying to gear myself up for playing Oracle of Ages, I finally decided, hey, you know what? I'm just not gonna. And I think I was gonna play through Minish Cap and Four Swords as well.
I've never played Minish Cap.
I think Minish Cap is good. I think they're officially off the table at this point. I just don't care.
Which is what I meant by don't play games that you don't feel like playing.
I'm with you on that one.
Although Minish Cap isn't as tight as the other 2D games. It's a little bit more experimental.
I found myself having trouble caring about Minish Cap even while I was playing it for the first time. I think I felt that burnout coming on even back then.
I didn't care for Minish Cap. I didn't like the Oracle's games. I didn't really like Minish Cap.
I've never played the DS ones. I mean, I started playing Phantom Hourglass, but I never finished. And I'm kind of thinking
I really didn't like Phantom Hourglass, and I know Zach, you fucking hate Phantom Hourglass, but I didn't like it because like the controls in it always bothered me, and then Spirit Tracks kind of fixed the problems that I have with the controls, and I really enjoyed Spirit Tracks, and I like trains.
I'm kind of looking forward to completing what I would consider to be a fairly noticeable gap in my Zelda experience by playing through the DS ones finally once I'm finished with Twilight Princess. So I'm looking forward to that.
I would just skip to the train game and skip Phantom Hourglass.
Yeah, just go straight to Spirit Tracks.
Yeah.
They're so similar that you're just going to want to experience the better of the two.
My closing shot with this one is that just look at my review of Spirit Tracks, and I'm pretty sure my abstract is just like, it's Phantom Hourglass 2.0. Like,
it is, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
All right, yeah, let's take a break.
We will be right back after these messages.
And we're back.
Welcome back,
Zach.
Yeah,
we're gonna jump right into the downloads. We got the down low on the downloads. I'm so sorry. we'll start with WiiWare. We're really just gonna run through this stuff because most of it's crap.
Except for the first.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
The first one, of course, for WiiWare, Bit Trip Fate, Axis Games, 800 points. Neil, what's Bit Trip Fate?
So I got Bit Trip Fate gifted to me by Axis Games, and I started playing some of it today. I'm on the second level, and it's a rhythm based shoot 'em up kind of. For anyone who doesn't know what the game's about, It's the Bit Trip series, you know, the rhythm games. There's all that cool chiptone music. And in this Mr. one, Video. You control Commander Video, and it's like kind of this path, like this fixed path. It's literally like an on-rail shooter, but it's from like the side-scrolling shoot-em-up perspective. And you control him left and right, and he goes along this path, which kind of like curves around the screen and everything. And then you can either use the Wii Zapper, you can use the class controller, and you can either point or use the analog stick on the controller to, you know, move your reticule around the screen and shoot at enemies. And when you shoot at enemies and you collect power-ups, and then, you know, you get to, like, the different score things, and I can't really think of how to explain this. Like you know, in the Bit Trip series, how you'll get to, like, you know, Ultra and Extra and all that stuff. That's how you get up there and get, you know, the better score multipliers.
Mega.
And every time you get hit, it'll bring you down one. And it's really tricky because, you know, you have to maneuver through all the gunfire, and it's a lot of fun. It's definitely, I don't think it really matches up to Bit Trip Runner, but it's probably, I would say it's, at least so far, it's one of my favorite in the series. It's definitely, I like it more than Core and Void, definitely.
It seems like they're pumping these games out.
Yeah, Dave, we interviewed them at E3, and really you got the vibe from them that they are very good at, you know, keeping to a schedule. This is their fifth game in the series, and the series started in March 2009. Like, that's amazing. Hmm. But, yeah, Bit Trip Fit's really cool. The boss battles are kind of tricky, and they're a little ridiculous, because I got to the second boss, and then, like, it took me a while to figure out, and then I died, and then I had to start the entire fucking level all over again. So it's got that kind of brutal difficulty in a way, but it's fun. It reminds me a lot of Rez.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask how far removed it was from Rez, since you said it was a ribbon-based shoot-em-up.
It's a side-scrolling shoot-em-up as opposed to, like, the behind-the-back 3D shoot-em-up.
Right. There's the
way
obvious,
it works with the music, and like, how, like, when you know, you get hit, it's like things get less spectacular.
Right, but I know that...
It reminds me a lot of Rez. If you liked Rez, I would recommend
The Bit Trip games really have a penchant for difficulty. Does that sort of throw a wrench in the experience with the music?
It seems a little easier than, like, some of the other games. It's still tough. Like I said, it's the toughness that I've encountered so far is more of it's unforgiving than it being super challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the bosses are a little hard to figure out, and it's not like you can die and then try again. It's like you die and you're dead, and you have to start the entire level over again.
Yeah.
Hey.
I think there's, like, 5 or 6 levels. I'll probably have a review up soon. I gotta put some more time into it.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's Bit Trip Fate. Next up from Hudson for 500 points is My Planetarium. I'm going to guess this has to do with planetariums.
I am angry with Hudson right now.
Are you?
Let's move on.
I can't imagine why. and then, a Nintendo game. My gosh, 800 points through space.
It's like 3D Tetris, pretty much.
There you go. Happy Holidays Halloween from 505 Games for 500 points. It's something.
Yeah. Happy Holidays Halloween.
Yeah. And then that's it for WiiWare, actually. And then going on to the DSi Go Go Island Rescue from Connect2 Media for 500 points. Yay. Enjoy Gaming, 500 points, has Spot the Difference, in which you spot the difference.
Photo Hunt.
GameBridge, 200 points. Go Series Defense Wars.
Tower Defense?
I'm guessing so.
I guess the Go Series is like a series of Japanese DSiWare games that are being brought over under the same...
Yeah.
It is, yeah. They were all part of the same package originally.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, this is my favorite release this week from Kaza, 200 points. Flashlight.
It's literally a fucking flashlight. Let's move on. 200 points.
Yes. another Nintendo game for 500 points, Snapdots, probably a camera-based
thing. It's developed by D4 Enterprise. It's based off of, like, some kind of Japanese puzzle game. It kind of looks like Picross, but it's not. It's like, you have to, like, tilt pictures and shoot dots into it. It looks kind of weird.
Yeah. All right. Zoo Games has Armada for 500 points, yay. Game Lion for 200 points. You can get Academy Tic-Tac-Toe.
Oh, this is what I've been waiting for.
I know, right?
A game that I couldn't just play on frickin' PictoChat.
or my notebook.
I thought Tic-Tac-Toe was exclusive to my notebook blue.
You know what? Yeah, if you had my notebook red, you could trade with someone that had my notebook
yeah,
blue
you
for Tic-Tac-Toe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh my god.
I really wanted that Ekans, by the way.
Abby Light has music on, playing piano for 200 points, adding to the vast library of piano.
I thought this game already existed.
Somewhere. I think it's like
probably
easy
does.
Piano, I don't know.
What is?
Whatever. Move on.
Don't care. And then there's one virtual console game that could actually be interesting: Final Fantasy Mystic Quest from Square Enix for 800 points.
Has
what
anybody
is this?
Has anybody ever played this game before?
I haven't. It's like a. It's
no.
Like
I actually I owned it for a while and then sold.
Is this similar to the one they released on the Game Boy?
No.
Is this a Super Nintendo game?
Like no, like the Legends
oh,
one.
No, not at all. This is
no.
Like my first RPG. You don't really explore as much as you go from, like, point to point. Like, imagine,
okay.
Like, it's a world map of a Mario game, except for each level is just a fight. An RPG turn-based battle.
So it's almost like Final Fantasy Tactics. Not, I'm not saying the battles
yeah,
are like
yeah.
that, but...
Okay. I mean, it's imagine, like, the Final Fantasy, like, 2/4 era combat, but
mm-hmm.
in a very limited exploration way. At least that's what I remember of it. It's been like, you know, 6 years.
That sounds like a thrilling prospect.
I mean, it's interesting.
Is this a Super
it's
Nintendo
interesting,
game?
But it's ultimately not anything too special.
It's
like
it's 800
really
points,
fantasy,
so
it would
yeah,
probably be
yeah,
worth
right.
looking into. But
you remember Quest 64? Now that was baby's first RPG.
Not really.
No.
No.
All right.
Like a friend of mine had Quest 64. We were so RPG starved that we played the shit out of Quest 64. And, like, it's not really a good RPG, but it's not, like, you know, my first RPG.
Oh, okay. I remember it being extraordinarily easy.
It was pretty easy, but I wouldn't call it that simple.
All right, fine. Retail releases. Actually, some interesting things here. On Wii, we have Rock Band 3,
which
we've discussed.
I reviewed. I gave it a 9.5
yep.
out of 10. The review is up. It's a fantastic game. If you like rhythm games, it's amazing. However, I don't know how much I can write. It really depends. At this point, you're probably invested in a platform. I'm invested on the 360,
right.
So even though you don't intend to World of Port, la-di-da-da-da, like, Rock Band 3 is going to be played on Xbox 360 for me. I have
Neil, you can't talk about any other platform.
Oh,
this
I know,
is Nintendo World Report.
But,
don't anger the guards.
But really, Rock Band 3, what it does is it refines everything about the Rock Band series into, like, such a fine, sweet, whatever, like, game platform.
Scene.
It's, like, you can sort through all the songs, like, the way that, like, everything is
And you can
cohesive.
Assign songs ratings, right?
Yeah, so that way, basically, you can have it where you would hit random song, and it wouldn't, like, there would be some songs that you have rated very low that wouldn't show up as often as songs that you have rated higher.
Yeah, that's
it's
pretty
just,
awesome.
It's an awesome game. If you like rhythm games, this game is amazing. And it has all
it
the
has
pro mode and the keyboards and everything, and that's cool, too.
All right, cool. Deca Sports 3, another Deca Sports game.
Yeah,
I didn't,
that is
they're gonna,
being
they're gonna
sent
run
out,
out of sports.
It's being sent out to Pedro for review.
Well,
cool. Probably take, I don't know, it has to go on a boat to Puerto Rico, so it'll be a while.
Back again, Battle Brawlers, Defenders of the Core, which I have a demo of that I should play someday.
No, that's Beyblade, different things.
Oh, Beyblade, you're right. Both kind of
I've heard
thing,
that the new Bakugan game actually seems kind of cool, because there was a Bakugan game that came out last year that I played. It was very much based, like, almost strictly on, like, the, you know, like the whole, like, roll the metal ball onto the card and then it comes out. Like, that's what it was based on.
Yeah.
Is Bakugan the spinning tops thing? Or is that something else?
It's little orbs that you throw and the orb pops out into a little monster.
Yeah.
Wait, that's Pokemon? Is this different?
Yes, it is. But this is the orb actually itself is the monster.
Yeah. But basically, Bakugan Battle Brawlers is kind of like, I think, like, you control the Bakugan in the game as opposed to you being the card game player who's controlling
yeah.
the Bakugan on the field.
So Bakugan, Nate, is actually two collectible games in one.
Yeah.
Cards and these stupid little plastic orbs.
I think that's stuff right. on
Bakugan. You're not going to get a response out of me that is not just a groan. So,
Tony Hawk Shred, which is a kind of a pseudo sequel to.
No, it's not. It is a sequel to Tony Hawk.
It is a straight up sequel.
It's more marketed for kids this time. I'd imagine we'd be getting a review copy of it soon, probably by the end of the week. I don't know.
More plastic shit from Activision.
Yeah,
this is different from the other new Tony Hawk game where you're like coloring the town, right?
No, that's Sean White.
What?
Yeah,
oh, okay, yeah, you're right. No, I'm sorry.
Tony Hawk's
me.
Shred also has snowboarding now.
Yes, okay, no, I was thinking of Sean White the Blob, so got it.
Yeah, Sean White the Blob actually looks really good.
Yeah, it looked okay.
I mean, that's also on the list, we may as well just
It was full of, like, stupid attitude. Oh, it is there. Okay.
Yeah, Sean White's
skateboard. Does it use the board?
Yeah, but I played the Wii version at E3. Using the Wii Remote and Nunchuk controls, and then the balance board. The balance board controls are fucking terrible. The Wii Remote and Nunchuk controls are pretty good, and in all honesty, it's probably the best skateboarding game I've played on Wii, and that's not saying a goddamn thing.
Yeah. Well, then we got WWE SmackDown versus Raw 2011, which Andy brought up briefly.
Yep.
It's a wrestling game.
Wrestling.
Yep.
They're still making
Which wrestling games can peak very high. I've enjoyed me some wrestling games, but
my friends like those UFC games.
Yeah, I got my ass handed to me in one this year at E3, but I guess the last one I really enjoyed was on the 64, so I don't know if that counts.
You know what the wrestling video games bring to the table that real wrestling doesn't? It's that when you're playing a wrestling video game, it's exactly as real as every other sports game. So, like, you can beat the crap out of someone, and it's not any less realistic than Madden, basically.
Yep. Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2, which seems totally unnecessary.
Yeah.
Actually, I kind of disagree, because I think the Wii version is going to be really good. It's developed by Red Fly
Studio.
No, I'm
just saying the first one had an ending. It didn't need a sequel.
Well, and for everyone who's read the buzz about the 360/PS3 version, apparently it's really—it's not exactly terrible. It's just—I
have only heard bad things about it.
Yeah, I've heard
me too.
Nothing good about it. I heard it's totally unnecessary. But the Wii one actually seems pretty cool. It's developed by Red Fly Studio.
Why is that?
That everyone who's anyone knows that I have total developer crush on Red Fly Studio. They did Mushroom Men, Ghostbusters Wii game, which I know a lot of people kind of shit on. It's okay, but Mushroom Men I love. Food Network game was surprisingly good from what it was. And this game, from what I've read about it, is that they do a good, like, Red Fly Studio, this is a Wii built from the ground up game. And it's also got this Super Smash Brothers-esque multiplayer mode. I don't know too much about the single player, but I really hope to try it out. I want to play this game.
Hmm. Alright.
I don't do things based off of developer crushes ever since Lair.
I have a crush on Way Forward.
I like Way Forward and Red Fly a lot. Other than that, Earl and like
Team Eco, thank you very much. I bought a PS3.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah.
Good Feel is on that list now.
Good Feel.
Oh, now they are, yeah.
Anytime Next
they
Level Games does a Nintendo game.
I'm just saying I've been hurt before. And I don't know. I'm not saying that you're going to hurt me, but I might be a little edgy.
A little standoffish.
A little hesitant. It'll take me a while.
Sean White skateboarding, which we discussed. Sean White mashed with De Blob.
Yeah, I mean, I think that game's pretty. It looks promising. I would like to check it out.
DJ Hero 2, which has two turntables.
Two turntables and a microphone.
You know, what's interesting about DJ Hero 2 is that they got rid of the guitar and added a mic.
Yeah.
What?
I like DJ Hero 2 a lot from what I've played. I still need to, you know, screw around with the multiplayer more. I probably won't have a review until early next week, or maybe optimistically the weekend I'll get a chance to write it. But it's a lot of fun so far. They've added a lot more as far as, like, I guess, cohesion for the entire game. Because in the first one, I mean, I only played it on 360, but I imagine the Wii one was just a port of that. It's kind of a really messy interface where there wasn't really any kind of career mode. It was just like, yo, dude, here's the songs. slam, yep, and go through that. And that's all it was. Where in this one, there's a very easily accessible quick play mode that you can go through. You can, you know, sort it by ones to do with just the DJ, one to do with the DJ and the vocalist. That's all really easy to sort through. And then there's this Empire mode where the entire screen of the first one is kind of put into this Empire mode where you start off as, you know, this young DJ who's hitting the clubs. And then you progressively play these songs. You unlock more songs along the way. I think DJ Hero, just the series in general, is really underrated. I mean, well, maybe it's not really underrated. I just feel like everyone seems to
It's just
it
not
off.
Very popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people write it off because of the guitar. It's like Guitar Hero to a lot of people.
Yeah. I think that DJ Hero is a surprisingly fresh and, like, interesting game. Like, just...
I do,
you know,
like the first game.
Yeah, like, the way it controls, like, I'm not into, you know, fucking turning tables or any of that shit. Like, I really could care less, but I just find some of the mixes that they have in it are really interesting, and the way that the game plays, I feel like I'm affecting the music, even more so in DJ Hero 2 than what you can do in Rock Band or Guitar Hero, because, you know, you do have more time, especially in the second one, because they have all these different freestyle sections, that you can really alter the song, and I feel like I'm more of a part of the music, as corny as that sounds, than I do when I'm playing Rock Band or Guitar Hero.
Do they throw a lot of, like, techno music in there, or is it...
There was a shit ton of Daft Punk in the first one. In this one, from what I've read, I mean, I haven't gotten too far into the game yet, but the set list is a lot less, like, techno and rap, and more, I guess, mainstream.
I would play a very techno-heavy version of this. And actually, yeah. I mean, it sounds cool that they added another turntable. Do you have to, like, match beats as you transition between songs?
The two turntables thing is more because they have a lot more focus on multiplayer.
It's not
like you're doing two at a time.
Oh, dang.
I thought that was the whole point.
Oh.
All right.
Well, okay.
Well, there's that. Flip's Twisted World, which comes with a Wii Remote Plus.
No, that's Fling Smash, bro.
Oh, shit.
Flip's Twisted World is the Majesco published game. Come on, dude. We've had a developer diary for, like, 3 months.
Yeah, I know. I'm tired. Sorry.
I don't know if the developer diary is done yet. They don't really tell me. It's just kind of, I get an email every now and then. It's just like, here's a new post. It used to be every week, and now it's just kind of like, maybe every 10 days, they'll be like, here's a new post, and then, like, there'll be something egregiously wrong with it, and then I'll ask the Majesco rep, like, what's up with this? And then they'll be like, okay, let me get back to you, and then 4 days later, they'll be like, okay, this is what was fixed, and then the next day, it'll be like, here's a new post. But, yeah, Flip's Twisted World.
Interesting process.
Like, it's $30. We should be, Grant Buell should be reviewing it. We should be getting a review copy.
What kind of game is it, for the sake of radio?
Okay, haven't read the developer journal? Like, what are you guys doing?
Has everybody that... Actually, you know what? That is a dumb assumption of me to make. Everyone that listens to newscast probably reads the site, so never mind.
This isn't, like, radio for Nintendo. Flip's Twisted World is, like, a 3D platformer where there's a mechanic in it in which you basically flip the world around you. It's based off of, like, Escher paintings, and it seems kind of like a Super Mario 64 version of Echo Chrome seems to be what they're going for.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, nice.
It could be really cool. Maybe. I really like, reviews have been kind of lukewarm so far. I'm interested to see what Grant thinks of it when he gets the check.
See how well it holds up to Oops Prank Party?
Yeah.
In the budget arena.
Yep.
And then the last Wii game is NBA 2K11, which is a NBA game.
NBA Jam?
Featuring Mr. Jordan.
Yeah.
That's
right. I've
heard
really good things. I don't really know anything about the Wii version, nor do I really
He's out of virtual retirement.
I've heard it's, it's a 2K game, so it's going to be pretty sim-heavy, but that's what I've heard, is that they've done a little more tweaking of the controls, and it's a little harder to get into than in maybe competing NBA series that are not available on Wii anyway, so...
Yeah.
I'm considering checking this game out, only because I think by putting Jordan in there, they've got to have sort of moved away from the regular traditional franchise mode and just have sort of like a Jordan mode, and I'm kind of curious to see what that would be.
Jordan mode.
Okay, because I've heard of this really a lot. I've heard this on other podcasts, specifically Weekend Confirmed. They talked about it on that, and I guess I'll just kind of recite what I've heard from there. Basically, how the Jordan interaction in the game goes is that there's, like, 10 Jordan moments where it'll be like, you know, play this game and put up fucking 60 points. and shit like that. And it's really difficult and challenging. But if you beat all of those, then you can unlock. You can, like, I think you can start Jordan at the beginning of his career on any team that you want in, like, modern-day NBA. So that's basically, that's, like, the Jordan stuff in the game. And I think there's also, like, they released a code that you don't have to complete all the really, really hard Jordan challenges to unlock him.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, if I was more into basketball, I think I'd care more about that. But
basketball is another kind of sports game that I have not played since the 64.
Dude, courtside.
Yeah, courtside was great.
All right.
Every minute adds a minute to PoloCast, so
yeah.
Let's keep going.
Rock Band 3 on the DS, which I probably like Band Hero, maybe? Sort of.
No, actually. No, it's like a rock band. Like... It's like Amplitude and Frequency. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of funny how they have, like, there's a pro mode in that game. How it works in this is, I guess... Amplitude and Frequency are, like, the first Harmonix games, so to speak.
Right.
And how they work is that, like, you'll have these, like, it's like the button highways that you're used to, but instead of, you know, like, playing a virtual guitar, you're just pressing buttons.
Right.
And in this one, because it's rock band, you have to, like, you basically, like, complete a phrase on guitar, and then you can, like, switch over using the shoulder buttons to a different instrument. And, like, as you complete a phrase in the normal mode, then, like, it'll kind of make that instrument play itself for a while. Right. And then, like, over time, like, you have to jump through all the instruments and keep them all playing and, you know, get a high score and keep up your multiplier, et cetera, et cetera. In pro mode, you have to keep them all going at the same time, which is not really as much fun. But I guess I see what they're doing, and it's kind of funny how they work pro mode into Rock Band 3 on DS.
Cool. Intellivision Lives, yay, for DS. Does anyone want this, really?
I don't.
I kind of like classic arcade collections. I'm not going to get this, but it's kind of nice that they're putting out old classic games, I guess.
I don't really have any nostalgia for that library of games, so I'm not really excited for it.
Seems like these should be DSi games.
Yeah.
Crafting Mama, which is a mama game with crafting. Arts and Crafts, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Art Academy. Wasn't there already an Art Academy?
This is a DS version. There was a DSiWare version of Art Academy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Gotcha.
This is like a compilation of those two with some more added bonuses.
Oh, okay. So it's the retail version.
Yeah.
And then Star Wars Force Unleashed 2,
You never know. I actually tend to prefer the handheld game versions of Star Wars games. Just like a weird thing that I have. If there's a handheld version and it's a Star Wars game, like Lego Star Wars, like the Super Star Wars ones, I liked all of them better on the handhelds.
Huh.
Even though maybe
I have Super Star Wars on game on the original Game Boy, but I've just never played it.
A lot of times, I don't know, they're forced to be a little simpler or something. I don't know what it is, but like them more.
Huh.
Just a fluke.
I know it would be sweet. A 3DS remake of Rogue Leader.
Oh my god.
Oh,
no, man. A 3DS remake of Trench Run should be thrown in there as well.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Wouldn't that be
having the vectors fly out?
That'd be amazing.
I gotta go.
All right.
That's
actually all the retail releases. Oh, go ahead, Nate.
Oh, no, I was going to say I got to go, like, watch Star Wars or something.
That's been a while since I've watched Star Wars.
I watched it last week.
Speeder bike through Endor on the 3DS would be a trip.
There you go.
All right, well, that's all the retail releases. And what we'd like to do now, just briefly, is, you know, it's the 25th anniversary of the NES. It's 25 years old. Well, not today, but it was recently. So we're each going to go around the round table and talk about our earliest or fondest memories, perhaps, of the loved, much beloved system that all got us into this hobby in the first place.
No.
Well, did it really?
No.
Well, you know what I mean, damn it.
No, I don't. My first console was a GameCube.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I guess because I kind of even proposed this idea, so I guess I've had.
Yeah, go first, Neil.
Yeah,
go first.
My earliest memories, I. the original Nintendo was not the first system that I ever got, but it was probably the first one that I played on, like, any length of time. My cousin had one, and when we would go visit him, usually my brother, my cousin, and I would stay up really late and play it. And, like, they were, like, you know, they were, like, born. They're probably, my cousin and my brother are both, you know, closer to Andy and Zach's age, whereas, you know, I'm, like, 8 years younger than my brother. So I was considerably younger, but I remember playing Super Mario Brothers, Blaster Master, Lunar Pool, Championship Bowling, and Vegas Dream all the time. And I really enjoyed those games, and a lot of those were like the foundation of what later went into my brother getting a Sega Genesis, then me getting my cousin's old Nintendo when he didn't want it anymore, and then me getting a Nintendo 64 and going batshit insane into the video games. And
Did you skip the Super Nintendo?
Well, no, I didn't get a Super Nintendo until I was in high school. A friend of mine, like my best friend, which is another way of how I got into video games, was one of my best friends had a Super Nintendo, and we used to play Super Mario RPG all the fucking time, and like Yoshi's Island, stuff like that. And actually, I think the first system, if I remember correctly, that I owned was a Game Boy, and that I got Donkey Kong 94 and, or, that's what it is, right? Donkey Kong 94 and Super Mario Land 2 with it. And that was the first console that I owned myself. My brother got a Genesis before that, but that was his. All right, so, Andy, do you have any memories of the original Nintendo?
Yeah, the NES wasn't my first console either. I got it when I was pretty young, but I had a Commodore 64 before I had an NES.
It wasn't your first, but it was your best?
I would say that the NES is probably pretty directly responsible for the fact that I ended up playing video games for the vast majority of my free time since I was six. my parents surprised me on Christmas morning, probably in, let's see, when did the NES launch?
25 years ago.
25 years ago.
84. Dude, who said 89?
That's the Game Boy launched in 89.
Christmas
84.
Yeah. Well, no, it was 85 was when they had the test launch in New York City. 86 was the nationwide release, and that's when Super Mario Brothers. All right, I think it's been narrowed down that Super Mario Brothers came out during the Los Angeles test launch, which is in early 86.
I'm fairly certain that I got it during the first holiday it was available for me to beg my parents to get it for me.
So 86.
So I'm thinking it must have been Holiday 86. They got me the package that had the robot and the gun with Duck Hunt and Gyromite, and then they bought me Super Mario Brothers and baseball, believe it or not, separately. And so we had four games right out of the bat. It was just the coolest thing ever, and my parents helped me set it up and sort of explain to me everything they'd read in the owner's manual. And I remember thinking, man, this is the greatest thing ever. And then we didn't get any more games for a while, but I'm pretty sure the next games we got after that were Donkey Kong and Kung Fu. So those are the first Those are the first six games we had for the NES, and those lasted us for quite a while. I think we ended up getting Metroid before too much longer. Metroid and Kid Icarus on the same Christmas. But man, I rented a lot of games for that system. I remember I would mow the lawn on Friday, and if I did that, then they would rent me a game on Saturday.
Nice.
That was sort of my childhood for way more years than it probably should have been. I remember the day I got Ghosts and Goblins. My parents brought it home, I think, as a surprise, and I don't know if I was swearing or not when I was that age, but if not, I probably should have been, because that game is frustrating.
That's like me
as hell.
With Ninja Gaiden. My Ninja Gaiden story is that I was actually borrowing it from one of my brother's friends. He lent it to us, and then we were playing it. And I, you know, got home from school, like, did all my homework, and was playing this game, because I was like, I want to beat Ninja Gaiden. I'd been playing it for a while, and I was like, I'm going to sit down and beat it. And I got to that last level, like, not the last level, but the big boss rush thing. Mm-hmm. And then got to the end of it, died, and got really upset and frustrated, and was just like, all right, I'm going to go through it again. And I went through it again, and I beat it, and I beat that boss, and was on to World 7 or whatever. And then I paused the game and was like, all right, I'm going to beat this first thing when I get home from school tomorrow. Naturally, the system got turned off when I left it on. And at first I thought it was my mom and got really upset. And then I found out that it was my brother and my brother was getting mad at me for leaving the system on, and I was just like, you son of a bitch. And then I went home, completely neglected all my schoolwork, which is probably why I stopped doing homework for a good deal of middle school and, like, elementary school, and just plowed through Ninja Gaiden that entire night, and was just like, my parents were like, time to go to bed, and I'm like, no, I have to beat this game or else it's going to get turned off again. I was like, I think I was like 9 when this happened.
I think my favorite NES moment was the day I got Super Mario Brothers 3. My brother, his best friend was moving to Seattle, far, far away from our hometown of Omaha. And my brother was given the opportunity to drive out there with him, with his family, and then fly back, which was sort of a big deal. Cause I was probably about 10, and he would have been maybe 12, so we were both really young. So my parents apparently thought that I was really jealous that he was getting this road trip, this vacation. So I did my mow the lawn on Friday, rent a game on Saturday thing. My parents were being awfully coy about the fact that I wasn't going to get to rent a game this weekend. I had put in my part, but they kept saying they weren't going to stop at Blockbuster or Applause Video or wherever it was we were going back.
And you're like, what the hell?
I'm like, why? Why? But they wouldn't answer me. And so they stopped at Target to, like, pick up something, and my dad just ran in to Target, and my mom and I waited in the car. And I had no idea it was coming, but he came out with a bright yellow box, and I flipped my goddamn shit. I had no idea that was coming. It was the greatest day ever.
That's pretty good.
I remember, I mean, this is kind of more recent, but I got a Nintendo 64 for my 10th birthday. Sorry to make everyone feel old. Or,
Jesus,
no. This was my 9th birthday, actually, because it was 97.
Don't make me feel old, Neil. I was -3 when Andy got his NES.
But I remember, I had a feeling that my parents were going to get me a Nintendo 64, and it even got to the point where we went to Toys R Us, and this is back when they had, like, the paper sleeves that you would pick up with games.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And they were basically like, oh, pick out a Nintendo 64 game. So I went and I picked out Mario Kart, and I was all excited. And, like, I was like, this is me, I'm getting a Nintendo 64. My dad's just like, what? No, we're just buying you the game. You're not going to get anything. And, of course, I'm, like, 9 years old. So I was just crushed. I was like, what am I even going to do with it? Like, oh, man, it sucks.
Yeah, of course you believe him.
Yeah. And then, like, my birthday came around, like a week later, and then I got a Nintendo 64 and everything.
Nice.
And, the whole time, the game's just sitting on your shelf.
Yeah, I'm just like,
looking at you, and you're
this
like,
is the
I
worst
have to,
birthday ever.
I have to retro build a Nintendo 64 out of the things in my house.
I seem to recall that I also got Zelda 2 and Mario 2 the same Christmas.
Wow.
I remember putting Christmas. Both of those games in and being thoroughly confused because I had played a lot of Zelda 1 and I had played a lot of Mario 1, and neither of these games were what I was expecting.
Right.
I think I kind of saw it coming a little bit because of what I had read in the Nintendo Fun Club magazine. But, yeah, that was just sort of a really weird Christmas morning to sit down with Zelda 2 and Mario 2, which are both now widely known retroactively as, like, the vast departures in both of those series.
Have any of you had an experience where, like, you... This could only happen in either the NES or Super Nintendo. Like, you rent a game from Blockbuster, and you get it home, and you plug it in, and you're like, is this for the right system? Because, like, there were some carts that were shaped differently.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, like the 10-gen carts. I remember.
Sure. Yeah, so you'd plug it in, you'd be like, well, it fits, but will it run?
Yeah.
I always liked seeing everyone's creative names for their, like, Final Fantasy characters and whatnot. Sort of a bygone era. Except on DS.
Still happens with DS games, yeah.
But yeah, the era largely of seeing what other people name their characters has come to a close to some extent.
I mean, it's really weird because I probably had a lot of similar memories of people who, you know, I guess, like, the people just slightly older than me that experienced, that were actually, like, of, like, you know, like, you know, between, like, 5 to 10 when the NES was out and came out. Because when I got the original Nintendo from my cousin, I was probably, like, 7 years old, something like that. And I remember, like, basically, like, I would not really rent, like, my brother would be renting Sega Genesis games, and usually they would have NES games on sale, and that's where I ran into the stuff where, like, I got, like, what is it, Tag and Dragon or something, which is one of the stupid, like, blue NES cartridges, and was just like, what is this? Why are you confusing me, parents? Why did you buy this for me for Easter? Like, I don't understand.
It's for the Wonder Swan.
I remember going to Funko Land, and, like, my mom would be like, all right, you have $20 to spend here, and I would get, like, fucking 10 games. Half of them would be really bad, but every now and then I would come out with total gems that I got for very, very cheap at Funko Land. And then that Funko Land closed down, and then I didn't know what to do with myself.
So I know that I don't have the same kind of NES memories as all of you, considering I didn't own one. And all the experience I'd had with it was sort of like by osmosis, like watching a friend play like a couple of times, you know, and that was really cool at the time, but I was always upset that I didn't have an actual NES.
Yeah. Well, that's like me and Super Nintendo.
And I hadn't really gotten to experience a lot of those games until just like last year or 2 years ago when I started getting more into Virtual Console. So I found that I freaking love a lot of those games.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
I didn't,
that's the beauty of Virtual Console.
I mean, I hadn't played Mega Man 2 until last year.
Wow.
But I love the game. I play it several times a week.
I used to hate Mega Man games until Mega Man 9.
See, and...
What?
Yeah.
I feel like we have a brand new feature called Recommend Nathan an NES game.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's fine with me because I wrote that thing up on Super Mario Brothers a while ago and it never got posted.
Shit,
it got lost in the ether because it was like, is this an Extra Life?
What is this?
Nathan
Revival?
Nathan hadn't played Super Mario Brothers until this year? What the hell? But I actually hadn't. And I freaking had so much fun with that game. And it's interesting seeing like what everyone's reminiscing about, you know. Everyone's always like, oh, you remember you played this game? And no, yeah. I don't remember, but now I do, and yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a testament to the quality of those games.
Yeah, they're just great. And I know I'm experiencing them in, like, this weird Michael Jacksonian kind of way, but...
You're like Brendan Fraser in
Blast from the Past.
In Blast from the Past.
But let me go back to my Mega Man thing, is that when I realized why I didn't like Mega Man games as much as a kid, because what I had is I had a version, or like, my friend had Mega Man 6, I had a broken copy of Mega Man 3 that, like, I would basically play a level in it and it would just lock up, and then I had Mega Man 1 for the Game Boy. And, like, that was my Mega Man experience as a kid.
So
it's like,
hard.
I thought 6 was kind of fun. I didn't really like the original Game Boy game because it was just like the screen was so small that you couldn't really tell where you were going.
And it's too zoomed in.
Yeah, it's not that bad. I played it this morning. It's in my hand right now.
What, Wily Wars?
It is brutally difficult.
Yeah.
Especially those disappearing platform segments in Wily's space station.
No, a long time ago, I traded my friend a copy of... Some Game Boy game for his copy of Mega Man, and I took it home and it like didn't work right, but then I occasionally try it out just to see if it will work, and like a couple years ago it worked and I was excited and it stopped, and then it worked again this morning and I flipped out. It doesn't work anymore, but...
Okay. But, and then basically what happened is throughout the, like, you know, the bulk of my life is I kind of always just wrote off Mega Man games because it was kind of sour experiences as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Mega Man 9 came out, like, I kind of was just like, oh, I guess I'll get it. It seems fun. And I enjoyed the crap out of that. And then I kind of went through this Mega Man renaissance with a friend of mine, in which we just basically went through and, like, played every Mega Man game. Like, or at least not, like, the X games. Like, I actually enjoyed the X games, which is weird. Because, like, I would play the Mega Man X game. Yeah, like, I enjoyed those. I played X1 and X3 and enjoyed both of those when I was younger. But for some reason, just kind of wrote off all the Mega Man games until Mega Man 9 came out, and then I got back into everything, and now really, at this point, Mega Man's, like, that old-school Mega Man is one of my favorite types of games.
And that's so bizarre that it's 9 that got you into it, because 9 is hard.
Oh, yeah. No, I was the exact same way with Metroid. I didn't care for it when
honestly,
I first played it.
I didn't really pick up Metroid
Until
really?
Fusion
until
for me.
Prime.
Oh, okay, for me it was yeah. Fusion. Because
and
I
and then yeah, Metroid Fusion and Prime I got the same time because I was like, there's
okay.
something to this series.
My first experience with the Metroid Prime games was the multiplayer on Echoes.
Oh God!
And you
yet
could
you
see
persevered.
You could see why I was kind of like I
it's
continued
funny,
to be down
I always
on it.
I loved the original Metroid.
Really? Well, see, I didn't get a chance to play it. I just played it, you know, briefly. It, you know, I didn't.
Yeah.
Out of context,
well,
I didn't.
I played the first three Metroid games, but I didn't get it. You know, way back
yeah.
then, it just didn't click mm-hmm. for me.
And
I
didn't
like,
actually,
where am
I didn't actually
to go?
Play Super Metroid until after I played Prime 1. And Super Metroid is one of my favorite games of all time. It was actually very shortly after I played Prime 1, I played Super Metroid.
I still have to play the first two Primes.
First one's great. Second one you can kind of skip.
I didn't care too much for
Prime
3.
I've been wanting to give
Prime 2 another shot. Do you have the
trilogy? No, I don't. We were talking about that earlier. It's so expensive.
Really?
Isn't it balls cheap now?
No, hell no. Dude, it's like $60 used.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Right. And it went crazy cheap for a week or so at Best Buy.
Only sold it for like a couple of months.
Yeah, for $20 or something.
I had problems with Prime 3 because it seemed like you could get lost really, really easily, and the game didn't have a great way to tell you how to get back on track.
You might not like Prime 1 then. Yeah.
Okay, because, you know, like, I'd put it down, because I don't marathon most games.
And you'd hate Prime 2 if that's your problem with it.
I feel like giving Prime 2 another shot, and that's really part of the reason
you
why
should.
I got,
you know, it's,
why
it's
I got
aged
the trilogy
well.
Is that I really wanted to, you know, I love Prime 1, and when I heard about the trilogy, I immediately sold Metroid Prime 3 on half.com for $40.
Oh, wow.
So basically it's like I spent $10 and got Prime 1 and Prime 2.
That's nice.
Oh, that is a sweet deal.
So it was totally worth it. And, like, I played through Prime 1, but I still need to, well, actually, I didn't finish my playthrough of Prime 1.
I was considering getting the trilogy just to see the art in the first two, because that was my favorite part about Prime 3.
Oh, yeah. The art in 1 is phenomenal.
Really? Yeah. I just love the worlds in Prime 3. That's actually how I got lost, because I was just running around somewhere. Like, I went back to a world to show a friend, and
there's
then I saved it and left.
There's a lot of variety of, like, how the worlds look in Prime 3, I felt.
There is.
They're kind of disconnected, but I thought they were really, like, the art direction was good.
Yeah, no, they were fantastic.
I think Alicia is great.
Yeah, we're not talking about the NES anymore, but whatever.
Can I tell my NES story?
Yeah, Zach.
Okay. Well, I guess I have two quick NES stories. I was introduced to the NES at a very early age because I had two friends who both had NESs, and we'd play Mega Man 2, you know, trade off on lives, and Mario and Mario 3 and whatnot. Actually, I don't think Mario 3 had come out yet. But I loved the NES, so I saved my money for probably 6 months, saved my allowance and chore money for 6 months or more, and you know, I saved up $200, I think.
Wow.
And it took a really long time, and so we went to Fred Meyer. Does anyone here know what Fred Meyer is?
It's the grocery store chain, right?
No, it's like Kmart, but with groceries.
Yeah, okay, that's why I thought it was a grocery store. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and we went to Fred Meyer, and I got the NES Super Pack, which was like the NES and the cartridge that has Mario, Duck Hunt, and World Track and Field on it.
Nice.
And it came with the light gun, and it came with the power pad.
Oh,
and
nice.
I played the hell out of all three of those games. And I got gold in everything in World Track and Field, except I couldn't beat the last marathon guy, the cheetah guy. Oh, I hated that guy. but from then on, I like slowly accrued NES games. And, you know, Kirby and Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters and the original Zelda and Batman and just a whole bunch of games. And I am so sorry that I didn't keep the games, because my NES went on the fritz when I was probably 16.
Right.
Oh, and I should say that I bought my NES when I was probably 10, maybe 9 or 10. And I'm so sorry I didn't keep the games, because now you can buy those, like,
the fake NESs, right?
The fake
right.
NESs. And it's just, it drives me nuts that I didn't keep those games because there were some real gems.
You know what's really funny is that I bought one of those, like, the because it's the Generation NEX or whatever. I bought one of those because I still have my cousin's original NES, which, like, he got, I think, in 87. Wow. And that thing still works. I mean, it's a wing and a prayer that it works. And I got the Generation NEX, and the fucking thing broke on me within, like, a year and a half. So it's like, I have this system that's over 20 years old that still works, albeit, you know, I have to give it some TLC. And Nintendo I get this, like, quality, this new thing that's supposed to fix it, or that's supposed to be, like, the better version of it and work, and it lasts less than 2 years. Luckily, Lauren found a top loader at a garage sale for that and, a shit ton of other games for $7.
Oh, my gosh.
I love garage sales.
I was going to say, like, to be fair, a lot of the NESs went out before too long because people blew in the cartridges and it rusted out the contents.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Most of the time when you buy a used NES these days, the contacts have been replaced.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So, I didn't know that.
Yeah. The whole blowing in the cartridge thing, that was great short term. Long term, it ruined a fair amount of NESs.
Wow.
But it's not that bad of a repair job. They just had to pull out the contacts, the little metal contacts, and replace them. There's a used game, retro used game franchise in the area called Gamers, and every time you go buy a new NES from them, it's always a little bit more expensive than it should be, partially because the demand is there, but also partially because they have to repair every single one they get in, pretty much.
I've really been considering getting, like, either a fake NES or, you know, a legitimate old one, just so I could get, like, play. I don't know why I want to do it. They're on Virtual Console, but...
Hey, I want to do it, too. I'd rather have the original cartridge.
Yeah, something about that, like, probably because I was denied that as a kid, but I just feel like I need to have a Super Mario Bros. 3 cartridge.
I'd love to have one just to have it.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
If you look at, Junior Librarian in the forums, or JR Librarian, whatever, he got one of those, like, the, I think it's the Retro Duo. I know they make one that I think it plays
Super Nintendo
NES and
games.
Super Nintendo, and they even have ones out there that play NES, Super Nintendo, and Genesis, which
Genesis,
really,
yeah.
like, that's like my home console childhood in one device.
Yeah.
Like, I could fill an entire, like, more than one podcast of my Genesis memories, because, as I mentioned before, that was the first home console that was in my house when I was a kid, was my brother got a Sega Genesis with Sonic the Hedgehog and the original X-Men game, and I love the Genesis, too.
But. Yeah, Genesis was my second game console. I got it with, the second one that I got after the NES, I should say. It was my, I got it on Christmas Day with Lemmings. that was my launch day game, was Lemmings. It was
they
wonderful.
They ported that to everything they could.
They really, really did.
Yep.
Well, we should probably close this out.
Right on.
Marathon show. But follow us on Twitter, NWR Newscast.
Review us on iTunes. No one
Give
has
us
done
a good
that.
Review, damn it.
Yeah, we haven't had any new reviews in a while.
Sitting at 16.
Yeah, but thanks to those 16, I appreciate
it. One of them was me, so it doesn't count.
So there's
thanks
only
those
16.
I appreciate it.
One of them might have been me too.
Oh shit.
Send us an email, newscast@nintendoworldreport.com. Post in the talkback thread. Talk to us.
We love to hear your voice.
Yeah.
In text form.
Yeah, I guess some of us are going to be appearing on crosstalk.com with Discover Music Project.
Yes.
Andy, you're doing Ben Folds 5 with Johnny, and then you're also listening to him talk about Bob Dylan. And then
that's
I
correct.
Guess, Nathan, what you're doing a death metal one with Johnny. And
Johnny
is
going to endure an hour of pain. And and then I'll have my turn when we go with his music.
Do you know what it's going to be?
Yeah,
yeah, it's going to be Umphrey's McGee.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I have another article going up on 1UP.com soon about GoldenEye. I have the one on Kirby that went up, The Origins of Kirby. I'm really, really proud of that.
That was a good article. I read that. It was good.
Yeah.
On
1UP. It's been there for like 2 weeks.
I saw that the first comment on your article on 1UP was mentioned in the newscast.
Yes,
it was. That was awesome.
Pandarus, I'm probably saying it wrong. But the first comment on the Kirby article was from a listener of the show. So thanks, Pandarus.
So Yeah, is this us pimping cool. all things non-NWR?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like pimping ourselves.
Zach, you want to talk about your dinosaur podcast?
It stopped because our sound editor decided
it's extinct.
He didn't like editing anymore. Yeah.
So was it the asteroids that killed it?
No, it was just pure sloth.
Oh. Hey, you can listen to me on the Touch Gen Unleashed podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on it every week.
I don't have any iPhone pod things, but hey, why not?
Yeah. Anything else that we want to talk about?
No.
Dinosaurs for a while, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
What?
Dinosaurs as they relate to Polo.
Yeah. PoloCast coming in 2 weeks.
PoloCast coming. There has to be a PoloCast now, I feel. Maybe on off week.
All right.
Yes, off week. All right.
It was good to talk to y'all.
Good night.
Always good time.
Newscast must end now.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
See you later. Right.
Bye. Bye.
Random side thing. Nathan, you strike me as a person who has seen The Room, right?
No.
Really?
The Room?
Should I put that on my list?
Yeah, you should totally watch The Room. It's horrendously bad.
But
the guy who made that
watch
made
it with friends right. and watch it kind of drunk.
Oh, yes. That's always how movies are watched. So
yeah.
Yes.
But the guy who made The Room made a short movie recently called The House That Jerks Blood on Alex. And it's like 10-15 minutes long, and it's the stupidest thing in the world. It's so funny. I can't believe you haven't seen The Room yet. If you're
no, I will put it on my list. Every Monday, I play like 2 hours of New Super Mario Brothers, and then watch a crappy Netflix movie.
That's
so,
a good idea
to unwind.
Yeah.
Here's your primer for The Room. It's not a horror movie. It's not like an action movie. It is a relationship based drama. Featuring a guy and his cheating girlfriend. And mm-hmm. it is quite possibly the worst movie ever made.
They have they have
really?
Screenings of the movies.
Andy, have you ever watched Troll 2?
No,
dude,
I haven't.
Troll 2 is really
things.
Bad.
Okay, yeah. See, that I'm having problems believing you saying worst movie ever made without Troll 2 being in that sentence.
They have screenings of these movies all over the country now. It started in L.A. I've gone to a few in New York. Where people will go to see it, and there's like this whole ritual of like throwing spoons at the screen and like shouting at different parts of the movie. It's a lot of fun.
And I think they
have ones out in LA. So if you watch it and you think it's really stupid and terrible, try to go to one of these. I think they used to have a monthly. I kind of stopped.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
There's like random pictures of spoons.
I saw
like framed artwork of spoons.
Yeah.
Throughout
and
the
like I went to one where. Who was there? David Cross showed up to one, and H. John Benjamin.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah, I've seen that one where they reacted some, they like reenacted some of the movie.
Yeah. I was in the theater.
Yeah, the Comedy Central Adult Swim actually, or not Comedy Central, Adult Swim actually played The Room at midnight on April Fool's Day about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of when it hit its sort
and
of.
And there was
mainstream.
Also a Tim and Eric Awesome Show episode. That's how I have a friend who's really into that show, and they told me about the Room, and then I watched it. It's terrible.
Definitely
no, this
watch it.
No, this sounds like a really fun night. No, I'm gonna.
Yeah.
This week I will watch it.
Get some friends, get some booze, and have a good
Andy,
night.
Andy, this is gonna suck to edit.
Yeah, well.
We're gonna have more stinger than show.
That's
yeah.
Right. Let's move.
That's okay.
Yeah, I don't see any problem with that either. Okay, moving on.